It is Securing America with me, Frank Affney, the program that's a kind of owner's manual for protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to God's glory, that of his kingdom. We've got a chance to talk about the enemies domestic with a fresh perspective, I think it's fair to say, as a result, among other things, of statements made yesterday by the man who is the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That would be Christopher Wray. He has testified before the Senate Homeland Security Committee about the fact that there's a real danger, as he sees it, of attacks inside our country that, have the potential to not only be copycats of what has been happening to Israel, but conceivably could be considerably worse. To talk about enemies within and what they may have in mind for all of us, there is, by my way of thinking, no greater authority than our friend Trevor Loudon. He has written a book entitled Enemies Within, a movie of the same name. He's produced Enemies Within the Church is a further documentary that he has used to describe the particular problems in the Christian church. He has also written more recently two multi-volume sets, one entitled Senate... Security Risks. He has written two multi-volume books recently, one entitled Security Risk Senators and the other House Un-Americans. The first is a two-volume set. The second is a six-volume set where Trevor, in his inimitable way, brings to bear copious research to make the case that we have in political life in the United States today, specifically in the Congress, well, as well as the White House, individuals who have, I think using the Chinese Communist Party term, been captured. Elite captured specifically. Trevor, it's good to have you with us. Congratulations on your new podcast at livefromamerica.tv and for all of the work that you have been doing to expose and raise awareness about and hopefully impel corrective action concerning the enemy within. It's great to have you with us, sir. I want to start with Christopher Wray's testimony. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but he was specifically asked by Senator Rick Scott of Florida about an aspect of his testimony which described this problem of having, it seems, a large presence of foreign-backed, foreign-influenced, or in some cases simply foreign assets in the United States posing a risk of violent action in the foreseeable future. Senator Scott wanted him to tell us whether the FBI was on top of this matter, specifically whether
I'm not surprised because this is what you knew, get when you have
the individual terrorists and cells that might be operating here. His response was, quote, "Well, we don't track that." Unquote.
Sorry. Look, I'm not surprised.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about the possibility that there is indeed a large threat in this quarter. And secondly,
rather than the real,
are you surprised that the FBI apparently is not?
We know the FBI was tracking terrorists here back in the 80s. Look, I'm not surprised. This is what happens when you get politicized intelligence services. They're used to go after the administration's enemies, rather than the real enemies of the state, of the nation. So we know the FBI was tracking terrorists here back in the 80s. You know, Hezbollah was setting up rings here back in the late 1980s, not long after the Iranian Revolution. And the FBI was tracking them. We know that. That's documented. That's all proven. We know they were tracking them in the 90s. Well, the networks have only got way bigger since then. So why would they not be tracking them now? When when everybody who's paying attention knows, has heard the stories of military age men coming across the border in large numbers from China, from Syria, from Iran, from Iranian nationals living in communist Venezuela for a few years, picking up Spanish, coming in with Venezuelan passports. They're not coming here to go to Vegas. You know, they're coming here to they want to make our life worse or end it. You know, it is very clear we're in the beginning stages of a multi-front war. And one of the main stages of that will be internal in America. That's what the Japanese could never achieve. That's what the Germans have tried in a small scale. But we could have several hundred thousand foreign military age nationals on our country now getting ready to cause mayhem when the signal is given. It might only be a few hundred. It might be a couple of hundred thousand. But one dirty bomb or one reservoir poisoning or one airport attack could shut down the whole US economy. Think of the economic damage that would do and the human carnage it would cause.
And of course, your comment about aviation calls to mind the unhappy memory of 9/11. And as I recall, there were 19 individuals who perpetrated that. And you talk about shutting down the economy, the cost, the trauma, that to say nothing of the loss of life was incalculable. So when you potentially have orders of magnitude, larger numbers, and by the way, not in all likelihood, people who just started taking flying lessons and didn't need to know how to land planes, but people who have been trained as special operators, for example, or hardened jihadist terrorists, this could be an entirely different deal. No.
Yeah, we'll be facing a, you imagine if China attacked Taiwan or Russia made a breakthrough in Ukraine, and there was a major international confrontation. What are we going to see? We're going to see dams blown up. Are we going to see infrastructure brought down? We're going to see local politicians assassinated, military bases sabotaged, a dirty bomb set off in a big city, an airport attacked, or a whole bunch of these things. The next 14 months, I just saw a report the other day, the next 14 months are expected to see several waves of terrorist attacks on this country. We'd be stupid to think this is not about to happen.
The next 14 months happens to coincide with, please God, the election of a new president and that individual taking office. Is that the relevance of the numbers
well,
you're
I
looking
think,
at?
If we were facing just straight up fair elections, I think the Democrats know they're in huge trouble. I think Biden knows he's in huge trouble. And so Biden is friends with China. Biden has been working with elements in Russia for a very long time. He has helped Iran immeasurably. You know, maybe a little bit of chaos in America will be just what he needs to either play the hero or to even delay or shut down elections altogether. Who knows? But the fact that the American government is allowing people across the border, many of them known terrorists who have been apprehended, then released.
Hold the thought. We have to be right back with Trevor Louden right after this. We'll be right back. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Five Republican senators used floor time yesterday to denounce one of their colleagues, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, endorsing Biden administration claims that the man known as Coach and his hold blocking the wholesale approval of promotions of senior officers are endangering national security. In fact, Coach Tuberville's hold, initially prompted by the Defense Department's illegal use of taxpayer money for abortion-related expenditures, has rendered a profound service to the military and the nation. His time out on promotions has afforded an opportunity to examine and reject officers who embrace the subversive cultural Marxist agenda fundamentally transforming our armed forces. Invaluable research on nearly 30 of those nominees reveals that despite hectoring by the Senate GOP's controlled opposition and their institution's failure to vet them properly, it is these officers' brand of so-called woke leadership that imperils national security, not Coach's objections to it. This is Frank Affney.
We're back, and I'm pleased to say we are joined by a dear friend and cherished colleague. His name is Trevor Loudon. He has been at the forefront of efforts to, well, both raise all of our awareness about the phenomenon of enemies within and drive us to correct for the presence of such enemies in this country. Trevor, I apologize. I had to cut you off rather abruptly. You were making a really important point about why it is that Democrats in particular may have an interest in some of these enemies within acting up over the next few months.
Well, we've seen in our Congress, you know, there's a whole party in there, about 20 people, who are full on for Hamas right now, who are basically giving every bit of cover. The mask is off. These are all Democratic Socialists of America people, hardcore left. You know, the Ocasio-Cortezes, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, this sort of crowd. But on a wider scale, if I was Joe Biden and I wanted my party to come back, I wouldn't want to be facing an ordinary election, an ordinary, fair, Democratic election. I think a bit of chaos, internal attacks. You know, we saw how the country rallied when after 9/11. You know, partisanship went out the window for a while. And that would be helpful to an incumbent party in power to have this. You know, how can you explain the fact that border agents are actually releasing known terrorists into the system here? I've been told this by border agents. We cannot hold them. We know they're coming from Syria, from Iran, from Afghanistan. We know these are bad guys, but we are not allowed to hold them. How can that be a policy of a patriotic government?
Yeah, I had not heard that, Trevor. I knew that we were counting them trying to get here, but it was always my understanding that those at least on the terrorism list were being, you know, deported, not permitted into the country. But that doesn't count, of course, all of the gotaways or, for that matter, countless others that they're letting in because they're not on some list at the moment. But you're saying that people known to be terrorists, or at least being suspected and identified as such, are actually being processed and allowed into the country along with everybody else?
That's what I'm told.
Wow. Well, that's news and chilling at that. So, Trevor, whatever they're doing with respect to the people that they do detect, it's clearly the case that among the millions now, pick a number, I've heard as low as 2 or 3 and up as 4 and 5 million people who have come into this country, especially if you add in the mix, those that have gotten clean away, haven't been processed, haven't even been counted properly. You've got an enormous pool. And as you say, in that pool, there is a large demographic subset that are military-aged, unaccompanied men, in many cases from countries of concern, as they've been euphemistically called, whether that's China, whether it's any of the Sharia supremacist nations around the world that adhere to this totalitarian, murderous supremacist doctrine of Islam. And you're saying that amongst them may be some that are known to be terrorists, but is there any guess as to how many who aren't known, who may be prepared to engage in, whether it's jihad or, military action, albeit of an unconventional kind behind our lines, on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, no, I think only they would know that. I think you'd have to go to the Russian intelligence services, the Chinese intelligence services, and the Iranians, and the Venezuelans, and the Cubans, and North Koreans to get some idea of what's going on.
But no, I'm sure they'll be very helpful, of course.
Well, they'll be very open, though, known for their transparency. But that's just the... there's three factors here, I think, Frank. There are actual military operators and terrorists coming across the border. There is also a large pool of illegals here who've got no work, who don't have any particular allegiance to America, and could be easily co-opted by the hardcore ones. But we've also got a very large army of homegrown communists and Islamists here. We've got groups like Students for Justice in Palestine, the Muslim Student Association, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the pro-Chinese Communist Party, Party for Socialism and Liberation, which is also pro-China, pro-Russia, pro-North Korea. They are all collaborating right now. They've got a big march on Washington planned for this weekend. But this is Muslim Student Association, Freedom Road, Students for Justice in Palestine, Party for Socialism Liberation, all cooperating. We have seen rallies all over the country in recent times. We've seen big numbers of people, 5,000 or 6,000 in Minneapolis, 1,300 in Grand Rapids, Michigan the other day. So these are all potential weather underground types. These are all people who will commit harm against America if the opportunity arises.
And when you say against America, there are some that have made it clear that they're particularly targeting Jews, not just Israeli Jews, but American Jews. And you're saying that it's actually a much broader threat to the country as a whole and to people who aren't Jewish, people who have nothing to do with Jews or Israel, are also in the crosshairs?
Look, in 2010, the Communist Party USA, they had a little meeting in Oakland, and they talked about if America got in a shooting war with China, because America's been provoking China, you see, they would have to open up a new front on American soil. So the Chinese...
We actually have evidence that they have said this.
They
back
wrote it
in 2010, you said?
2010.
Wow.
So they would be forced to open a new front.
And where did that appear, Trevor?
That was in a Communist Party USA notice of a meet. It was in the People's World, or I've got a screenshot of it.
Okay.
But it might have been Political Affairs, their theoretical.
But they weren't making a secret of it. You're saying that this was part of their publicity efforts?
It was a little bit obliquely worded, but it was very clear what they meant. Their loyalty is to China. Their loyalty is not to America. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization, they were the ones behind the George Floyd riots. They burnt cities all over America. They've attacked both the Democratic Party and the Republican conventions on several occasions, causing violence, extreme violence. A whole bunch of these people were arrested in 2010 by the FBI, 24 of them, for supporting the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the Philippines Communist Party, and the FARC in Colombia, all designated terrorist groups. But that time, Eric Holder was the Attorney General, and it was found, and some of these people had worked with Obama in Chicago, the people who arrested, so the charges went away. So we have a very substantial fifth column in America who has a proven record of working with Islamist terrorists and communist terrorists overseas and have a proven record of extreme violence in this country. Black Lives Matter riots, for one.
We're going to come back on that very point on the other side of a short break. We're speaking with Trevor Loudon, the author of, among other things, Enemies Within, and the host of an important podcast, The Trevor Loudon Report, on livefromamerica.tv. Be right back.
Night after night, in cities across the country, black garbed assailants clash with police in the streets, smash windows, and throw Molotov cocktails in an effort to destroy police stations, federal courthouses, and local businesses, all in the name of anti-fascism. Most Americans are now, sadly, all too aware of the movement known as Antifa. But where did they come from? What do they want? And how do we stop their campaign of violent mayhem? The Center for Security Policy Press is proud to present Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat. This new book looks at the history, ideology, organization, finances, and strategy of Antifa and provides an in-depth analysis for law enforcement officers, policymakers, and the general public. From street fighting tactics of the Black Bloc to fundraising by prominent left-wing foundations, Unmasking Antifa is the go-to guide to understand this elusive and dangerous threat. Get your copy of Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. We're visiting for this full hour with the great Trevor Loudon. We're talking with him about a subject on which he is one of the, certainly the country's, and I would argue one of the world's leading experts, and that is the kind of phenomenon that, as he's described it, involves enemies within, enemies here inside the United States, some of whom are foreign, some of whom are domestic, some of whom benefit from foreign sources, some of whom are substantially supported by other groups, even ones that would seem to be odd bedfellows, if one might say that. For example, we hear, Trevor Loudon, about these demonstrations, or I think mob action, even one might say more accurately, involving support for the jihadist terrorist organization Hamas, involving, among others, queers for Hamas, of all things, and others on the radical left. Black Lives Matter, you mentioned at the end of the last block. Talk about how it is that people that seem to have rather divergent, you know, end states in mind, nonetheless are collaborating in what appears to be incipient and perhaps quite widespread violence here.
Well, you know, the thing that unites all of these groups is hatred for America and hatred for Israel. So you'll get radical queers working with Black Lives Matter, working with Students for Justice in Palestine, working with the Muslim Student Association. You know, these people have very divergent views on some issues, but they all hate America. And they all understand that the main impediment to a Muslim world or a communist world or some blend of the two as a free, independent, constitutional America. So, you know, Black Lives Matter, which is basically was run, in my opinion, out of the Chinese consulate of San Francisco, as early as 2015, was going to what they call Palestine, you know, the occupied territories, and meeting with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. One of their key people, Ahmad Abuzniad, was the son of, this is a Black Lives Matter guy, part of the Dream Defenders group, was the son of Nabil Abuzniad, a key advisor to Yasser Arafat. So these links have been, and we know that Palestinian activists were part of the Ferguson riots of 2014. So these are long-standing connections.
Yeah. And you make a key point. They're willing to subordinate the differences they have as to where they ultimately want to go to eliminating that near-term obstacle, namely us, so as to advance to the next stage. That would mean, I guess, then, Trevor Loudon, that we're witnessing a degree of collaboration here, but also on the part of their foreign supporters. Is that the case, would you say?
Yeah, well, look, leaders of Hamas have been to Moscow four times in the last year. Last week, they were there with representatives of Iran. We know that senior Hamas people have been training with the Chinese in the Western provinces. We can see this, what Reagan used to call the evil axis, has come back. The band has got back together. You know, so you've got Iran, Russia, and China all cooperating with Hamas, and Hamas has networks all through, from the Council on American Islamic Relations here, the Muslim Student Association, but also the communist support networks as well. We see that here, we see it internationally. And the number one target is the United States of America.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But they're also looking at the little Satan, and that would be Israel.
Israel too. You know, Israel was, of course, you know, the first step, but the real target is ultimately America.
Right. Would you say, Trevor, that the real target is actually even bigger than the U.S.? We're the main obstacle, yes, but bringing down Western civilization more generally seems to be what they also have in common, is it not?
Well, that's right. You know, America is like the pole that holds up the tent. You know, if you can flip out, you cut that pole, the whole tent collapses. They understand that. Nobody's going to stand without America. So we've got a situation where most of Latin America now is run by communists with heavy Islamic infiltration. The enemy's on the march in Europe, could be on the march in the Far East pretty shortly, on the march in the Middle East. The only question is when are they going to start going kinetic in America? Are they going to go to Taiwan first, then America, or America first, then Taiwan? Or maybe, you know, Korea. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, my personal theory, Trevor, is that Xi Jinping is kind of like an arsonist who's been setting fires in various places around the world.
Yeah.
Ukraine first, the Middle East second, quite possibly, as you say, North Korea, maybe, who knows, Brazil, possibly the Indo-Pakistani conflict, getting that going again. But all with a view to creating conditions that make it unlikely the United States would put up much of a resistance to China's own aggression when it kicks into gear. And that makes me think that among those fronts where the matches are being thrown, the tinderbox, if you will, is the home front. And it stands to reason to me that that would be set off before they move against Taiwan, just to be that much more confident they can get away with it.
Speaking, yes, you're right. And look, we've also got to take into account the big strike waves we've been having. Well, the Democratic Socialists of America are getting ready to strike in the port of Long Beach and the warehouses of the Inland Empire. That's a major supply chain hub. If they can shut that down, that's all the goods coming in the West Coast, comes through Long Beach, gets warehoused in the Inland Empire. So we're seeing that as well. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization, pro-Chinese communists, almost took UPS out on strike recently. They're now working on FedEx. They're now working on Amazon. So it's going to be strikes. It's going to be sabotage. It's going to be probably terrorist attacks. Well, put it this way. On the law, on any intelligent observer would come up with this conclusion. You know, let's all hope it doesn't happen. But we got to bet that it's going to happen, and we got to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Trevor, you mentioned earlier on that you thought that Black Lives Matter was being run basically out of the Chinese consulate in San Francisco. And this conjures up an image of the Chinese Communist Party as very much behind the sorts of things you're talking about. And I know you've talked with me on previous programs about the Chinese involvement with the U.S. Department of Labor, among other things, under this administration, helping create conditions, perhaps, that are conducive to job action, as they call it, or otherwise interfering. And the interesting thing about it, of course, is that if they shut down supply chains inside this country through these proxies and cutouts, what has been clearly a risk for quite some time now of the Chinese interrupting supply chains over there could be done without their fingerprints on it. No?
Well, that's right. Well, you got Julie Su, who's the acting Secretary of Labor, who's a longtime Maoist activist tied to former members of the Communist Workers' Party who are militantly pro-China, complete Chinese agents. And now she's overseeing the Department of Labor when we have a wave of Chinese-inspired strikes going on. You know, well, which side do you think she's going to be on? You've got Deb Haaland, who's Secretary of the Interior, who was put in place by a pro-Chinese communist called Judith LeBlanc, put in place, and she is now shutting down every energy lease she possibly can, shutting down uranium mining, etc., right when Biden has drawn down America's strategic oil reserve by 50%, when we need oil more than any other time, she's shutting it all down. But wouldn't that be benefiting? Wouldn't the work of those two cabinet secretaries be benefiting our enemies?
Yeah. Well, I think you've heard me say it before, Trevor. Our audience certainly has. I personally believe that every policy that Joe Biden has promulgated, domestic and foreign, has basically two things in common. They're bad for America, and they've benefited our enemies, most especially the Chinese Communist Party. Right. And in this case,
if this was just stupidity, wouldn't they make a mistake in our favor once in a blue moon?
Just random chance, yeah. Again, Sam Faddis has pointed out that that isn't the case. This is not incompetence. This is malfeasance and treachery, I think, more to the point. We're going to have to take a break in just a moment, Trevor, but I did want to ask you to think about this question of how broadly has this, enemy within phenomenon developed amongst not just Chinese communists or jihadis, but among our kids, our population for now, I think at least probably two generations, as a result of the practice of the Maoist sort of cultural Marxist techniques in, among other places, our academic institution. How serious a problem is that? How widespread is it? And what does it mean for all of us if we don't correct it right quick? That and more with Trevor Loudon on the other side of this short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Five Republican senators used floor time yesterday to denounce one of their colleagues, Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, endorsing Biden administration claims that the man known as Coach and his hold blocking the wholesale approval of promotions of senior officers are endangering national security. In fact, Coach Tuberville's hold, initially prompted by the Defense Department's illegal use of taxpayer money for abortion-related expenditures, has rendered a profound service to the military and the nation. His time out on promotions has afforded an opportunity to examine and reject officers who embrace the subversive cultural Marxist agenda fundamentally transforming our armed forces. Invaluable research on nearly 30 of those nominees reveals that despite hectoring by the Senate GOP's controlled opposition and their institution's failure to vet them properly, it is these officers' brand of so-called woke leadership that imperils national security, not Coach's objections to it. This is Frank Affney.
Welcome back, and we are speaking with Trevor Loudon. He is one of the great researchers and chroniclers of the penetration of our country by foreign powers, hostile entities of various kinds, individuals bent on doing us harm, and also the help that they get from their friends inside this country. And Trevor, I wanted to turn to that latter point, the friends. It's clearly the case at this point, when you look at public opinion polls or just anecdotal evidence in discussions with young people, your own kids perhaps, in various academic institutions or graduates thereof, that we've seen a sea change amongst at least a generation, maybe two, since the 1960s. Of younger people who, in some cases, loathe our country, think it's systemically racist or otherwise oppressive, colonializing, and who believe to varying degrees that all white people are supremacists and oppressors, and all people of color, especially blacks, are all victims. And whence comes all this, and what are the implications of it being widespread now?
Well, it's incredibly widespread. You know, the whole concept of white privilege, which much of this is based on, came from Ted Allen and Noel Ignatieff. They were two pro-Soviet Communist Party members in the late 50s. They switched to the Maoist side. They developed their white privilege theories. Basically, what they were doing was using race instead of class to start a revolutionary movement. These people were fostered by the Black Panthers, the Maoist groups in this country, SDS, Freedom Road Socialist Organization, League of Revolutionary Struggle, have popularized their ideas and got their ideas into the colleges to the point that now they're now endemic. They're in high schools all over the country, etc.
Even lower grades, I think.
Plus, the Chinese Communist Party is working with organizations like the Erickson Institute of Chicago, which is run by Valerie Jarrett's mother, full of communists. Where they
Valerie Jarrett, of course, being the sort of Svengali for Barack Obama, right?
Well, still
hard leftist out of Iran, as I recall.
Well, that's right. Her whole family came out of the Communist Party. You know, her whole family was communist. Her communist family worked with Frank Marshall Davis in Chicago. Frank Marshall Davis went out to Hawaii and mentored Obama and sent Obama back to his welcoming pad in Chicago. But the CCP is involved in education at every level in the United States. But this idea of white privilege, what they call a nationalities question, using race to create revolution rather than class, is completely a Maoist, Stalinist construct. but it's been taught in schools all over the country. And here's the other factor. It's also been taught in many churches. So you've got this white privilege stuff being taught in churches, but also the American evangelical churches, who were once the bedrock of support for Israel in this country, are now increasingly flipping to the Palestine side. That is another big movement in the churches. So the Maoists are pushing the race stuff and the Palestine stuff. Well, you know, and that's why the Black Lives Matter is tied up with Palestine, because it's the same cause. You know, the Palestinians are oppressed by the Israeli apartheid Jewish state. The Black Americans are oppressed by the white Christian capitalist patriarchy in this country, so they're natural.
Or so we are told. This is their party line.
This is their party line. So, but now this is in churches, this is in education, and this is changing the minds and changing the perception. This is why anti-Semitism is growing in leaps and bounds right now.
Right. Huge now. Trevor, we had a fascinating Committee on the Present Danger China webinar on this broader subject 2 weeks ago, I think now. It dealt with the brainwashing of our kids. And one of our contributors was Dr. Stanley Ridgely of Drexel University. And his book entitled Brutal Minds is just unbelievably compelling, because what it documents quite clinically, really, is that not only have we seen a sort of cult-like inculcation of these ideological trends, but that, as is generally true with the brainwashing and indoctrination and cult cultivation, that there's actual psychological harm that is being perpetrated on the targets that will endure for their life. And that's a very frightening thought, especially when among those that are being now indoctrinated in this fashion, not just kids all the way through the, you know, years of lower and upper grade education and the universities especially, but also the United States military, Trevor.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the implications of that?
Well, you know, what we call wokeism is what the Chinese communists used to call consciousness raising, and what we used to call brainwashing. So, you know, it is raising, wokeism is raising one's consciousness to issues of class oppression, of racial discrimination, of homophobia, of Islamophobia, of all this. This is cultural Marxism we call woke. So this is absolutely in the military now. You know, you've got, you know, that with the vaccine mandates and the political correctness, they've driven the young gung-ho guys who loved America don't want to join anymore. So who's joining? It's Harvard sociology graduates. It's Princeton and Yale graduates who've never been out squirrel hunting in their lives, who've never been out deer hunting. They're not part of the mainstream culture, but now they are running the military.
I want to ask you about another possible feedstock for the military in the future, and that would be illegal aliens. We'll talk with Trevor Loudon about that on the other side of a short break. What could possibly go wrong with that? Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this final installment of our hour-long conversation with one of the most interesting and, I think, courageous men I have the privilege of knowing, and that would be Trevor Loudon, originally from Down Under, New Zealand, informed by his experience losing that country to communists. He has spent most of his recent years trying to warn America of what may be in store for us if we're not alert to the sorts of dangers that we've been discussing in the course of the previous four segments. Trevor, I did want to just finish up this thought. If you wanted to fundamentally transform, to use an old Obama line, the United States military, purging those deemed to be unaligned with the left's ideology, and forcing out those who refuse to take the jab, who seem to correlate pretty closely with that previous condition. And of course, indoctrinating those who are left to a fare thee well with this critical race theory and cultural Marxist stuff. You may still have a shortfall in the numbers of troops that you need. What do you think is the prospects that the plan has been to put at least some of those unaccompanied military age men from garden spots in the Muslim world and communist China even, perhaps, into the United States military on their path to a fast track for citizenship?
Well, we just saw two Chinese-born Americans arrested for spying in the Navy for China, okay? Now, the man who's been pushing most heavily for the last few years to bring illegals into the military is Mark Vasey, a Democratic congressman from North Texas, from the Dallas area. He is also best friends with and a longtime collaborator with Gene Lance, the head of the North Texas Communist Party. So this guy, who is totally in bed with the Communist Party, has been leading the charge to bring illegals into the military. This has all sorts of negative potential, from sabotage and espionage to discipline problems, you name it.
Well, the talk about enemy within, it's kind of like those blue on green or green on blue attacks, rather, as they were called in Afghanistan.
Guys, you bring in the enemy attacking into their comrades. Military. Yeah. What are they going to do when they're there? Who are they really working for?
Yeah. Trevor, this is so chilling. So this raises the question that I wanted to finish with. Do you have any prescriptions, given the mess we're in and the length of time it's taken to get to this point, but we're certainly there now, about what we do to try to get, correct course?
Well, Ron DeSantis, bless him, has just basically banned Students for Justice in Palestine in Florida. That should be done all over the country. Every red state should be going after these groups, shutting them down, taking names, and marking for deportation anybody who is here is not a citizen, anybody participating in these groups. But the long-term thing is really, we got to keep the country together till we can get a change of government. That's every citizen that's got to be involved in this. And we've got to understand every patriotic group should be liaising with the local sheriffs. If there's any trouble in our county, how do we help you? Is there anything information we can supply you? What are you looking for? We got to do that. But ultimately, if we get another government that actually cares about America, we have to set up a brand new intelligence agency, totally vetted, to go after foreign infiltration in America. And then the president would give a three-month amnesty for all traitors in America. Come forward, tell us what you know. We'll spare you from prosecution if you rat out everybody you work with. Plus, you will need massive repatriation of every illegal immigrant in the country. That has to be done, all of that. Then you have to reinstitute the kind of vetting that I went through when I came here, that I had to swear I'd never been involved in any communist group or any group that sought to overthrow the US Constitution. Well, those who advocate Sharia law are also advocating the overthrow of the US Constitution. So that qualification needs to be broadened to cover that kind of subversion as well.
So that would actually be a language change and that oath that you have to take.
It has to be broadened, because the old communist movement is metastasized. It's way bigger. It's working with the Islamists now. The Communist Party isn't enough. Yeah. It's got to be much broader than that.
As I recall, they also wanted you to declare you hadn't been involved with a Nazi operation.
The Communist or Nazi Party, yes. Yeah. Well, that's another...
But these are all basically different flavors of totalitarianism, are they not?
That's right.
They have a lot more in common than they do at odds, other than that end state point.
Well, they work together like mafia gangs work together. They have a little fight every now and then, but basically their enemy is us. Yep. And they will work together to take us down.
Yeah. Trevor, this is such important work and... analysis on your part, and I'm every time I interact with you, I'm always impressed anew of how deeply you've studied these matters, and your incredibly retentive mind as to who are these individuals and what are their associations. It's obvious in your books, of course, Enemies Within, the movie as well as Enemies Within the Church, and not least your two new sets. Security Risk Senators and House Un-Americans. I can't properly thank you for all of the effort that you've put into this over so many years, and for, I think, the consequential impact that you've had in raising the alarm, yes, but also in terms of encouraging the kind of steps that you've described just now. These will be terribly difficult and you know, almost certainly considerably upset the order in the United States, let alone if some of the kinds of attacks that you're talking about take place. But it's a place where we have to start very quickly.
Why I write my books about the communist senators and congressmen, because we need to know who they are, because they will block any attempts.
That's where the corrective action starts. Thank you. We have to stop. God bless you, my friend. Come back to us with updates on all of this, if you would. I hope the rest of you will come back to us next time. But until then, you'll go forth and multiply.